The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Do you have a chip on your shoulder?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, myself, Sean, we're probably two guys that, you know, we probably got here with chips on our shoulder. And I think Buffalo is a town with a good chip on the shoulder. We want people to come in here not feeling like I've arrived.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna...
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey Bills fans, welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Rumblings podcast. I'm your host, Nate. Thank you so much for joining us. I am joined by my co-host for this episode, Nick. Nick, the guy that you hear every single episode that does the voiceover for the beginning, the intro and outro to every podcast, the guy who came on last year to do the embedded series review with me and is coming on this episode to do a quick review of the embedded episode, I guess you could say, of the draft that they showed. The Pagula Sports and Entertainment group did a quick episode, a 13-minute episode of the draft, and we're going to talk about it. So I'd like to welcome back good friend, voiceover Nick. I know you love...
I have one question for you, Nate.
Yes?
Do you have a chip on your shoulder?
Do you
have a chip on your shoulder?
Yes, I do have it. I do. You know what? No one believed in this podcast. You know, no one thought it was going to go anywhere. And, you know, looking back on it, they might have had a good reason to think that, actually.
So. I thought it was over when you tore your meniscus.
That was a cool
back.
Was that your favorite part? Just tell me right now if that was your favorite part, the chip on your shoulder.
Yeah, it probably was. Just because how pervasive it was across the board of everyone who's like, we like chips on their shoulder. Like, yeah, we got it.
Well, I kind of got, that was, I think, the part where I think I got goosebumps a little bit. Not going to lie, they were talking about, you know, A.J. Epenesa. They went boom, boom, Epenesa, Zach Moss, Gabriel Davis. Do you have a chip on your shoulder? Oh, yeah, I got a chip on. Do you think anyone ever says no? But then I was thinking that later.
Who would say no? If someone's asking you the question, they want a yes.
Yeah. Do you have a chip on your shoulder? Nah, I'm pretty good with everything. I don't really feel the need to try or better myself.
You know, I really don't feel like I have anything to prove. So therefore, my career in the NFL will really, really progress nicely.
Lots of guys have chips on their shoulder. Not all of them succeed. That's the thing. Marcell Dareus. I remember when Marcell Dareus was drafted. I believe he was drafted third or fourth overall by the Bills. And I remember him coming into the league and saying, like, on a conference call after he got drafted, like with the press, saying, I am so pissed that those first two teams didn't draft me. It was the Panthers and the Broncos and I think the Bengals. He's like, so when I see them, they better watch out. And I'm like, oh, this guy's serious, man. This guy's going to be a wrecking ball. And he was for a few seasons. And then, you know.
Well, his chip now allows him to paint wonderful little pictures in a storage unit. Have you seen that?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know if it was like a 60 Minutes thing. I don't know. It feels like some weird, like.
You're not thinking of Marcell Dareus. You're thinking of, it wasn't James Hardy. It was Aaron Maben. Aaron Maben you're thinking of.
Oh,
the defensive end.
It's Aaron Maben.
The undersized, the 220-pound defensive end. Yes.
I bet he has a chip on his shoulder.
Oh yeah,
you're right. My bad. We're gonna err into the stylings of Blitz Bills probably on this little episode.
I'd be so honored. I'd be so honored. I love those guys. They.
I'll try to work up a rant.
So let's talk about it real quick. This was right now. So I emailed one of the producers, Michelle Girardi Zumwalt, which we actually interviewed last year on the podcast when they released a series, which I believe was 3 or 4 episodes altogether. And those were more like 20, 30 minute episodes. And this was just one like 12 or 13 minute episode. So I asked her, you know, are there more coming? She's like, yeah, you know, eventually, but you know, obviously things are the way they are. So they could only get this one out, which was great though. I still
soft pitch. I got a soft pitch.
Soft pitch. Go ahead.
Quarantine Cribs.
Ooh.
Filmed by the players.
The players, uh-huh.
And they just, you know, we do a crib style. Here's the 12-pack of Pepsi in my fridge. You know, the whole Cribs deal.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they practically did it with
Micah.
Last
year. Yeah, last year with Micah Hyde.
Micah Hyde, yeah.
Yeah, that is a nice house. That was a nice house.
It was. Seemed nice.
It seemed nice. I'd like to see all the Bills players' houses.
They got the time. Walk around it with an iPhone. I mean, most of this was on an iPhone, I think, like in terms of the quality of the video. It wasn't the super high quality that we're used to from the other embedded things, which is fine.
Yeah, which
I mean,
is
we're
yeah.
used. We could deal with it with our late night shows. We can deal with it with our Bills content.
But they just do such a good job, like audio edit, and they always do like those flyovers of like the stadium, the empty stadium. It's just like, you know, the quality that goes into it. I'm always very impressed by, even though, like you said, a lot of this wasn't, you know, to the level that it normally is. I was still fine with it. It was, I mean, you saw Brandon Bean.
Bills content.
It's Bills content, exactly. What more could you ask for this time of year, especially? But right now, as of yesterday, the day before, I can't really remember, Cuomo said that he expects training camp to be open for the Bills. So that's still on schedule. We'll know more in the near future or within the next month or so, I'm sure, with how much it will be open. Will it be a matter of, you know, there probably won't be any spectators. I can't imagine them bringing spectators to training camp. What's the benefit of that?
Full hazmat suits. If Josh Allen can throw in a full hazmat suit, there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to do it without.
Dude,
I feel like training camp in a full hazmat suit would be beneficial.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Well, it's got to be a different color hazmat suit. Because,
a red one.
Yeah, red one, of course. I think that the plan is they're going to have it at New Era Field. In their own facility, they're not going to come to Rochester, obviously. It doesn't make sense to do all that traveling and stuff like that, expose yourself to more things. I think it's just going to be in-house in Buffalo. So there'll be a change in pace, obviously, but it'll be interesting. But, you know, I love when they do the training camp footage for the embedded series that they've done. I think it was a couple of years ago that they did it. But yeah, let's get into the episode itself. We've talked enough about, you know, just our overall thoughts. So it was quick. It hit some really interesting points. I thought I'll bring up one of the things I thought was interesting. I don't know if you noticed this too, Nick, but it was really kind of funny seeing Brandon Bean and assistant GM Joe Schoen at the NFL Combine, and they're watching Gabriel Davis run like a poor 40-yard dash, and it's almost like they were fist bumping, like yes. Like
that was funny.
He's like, yes, he's gonna drop to us, he's gonna fall to us, we could get up maybe in the fourth or fifth round, I don't know, but like they're like, this guy, it was just kind of funny. I always thought that they would think that, but it was very evident in the sound.
It's like I wouldn't feel bad if he had a limp coming out of that.
But what's cool too is how much they knew that, like, he plays, and they said right after, like, he plays faster than that. Like, they always, they mentioned several times, I feel like, in this episode, that they value football players above athletes, which I think is great.
Well, and I think that, like you said, it goes above and beyond, not just looking at one metric that the whole world seems to focus on, because during draft time, everybody's talking about, whoa, his 40 time was blah, 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 or, you know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And they realize there's more to it than just that. You know, there's heart.
Heart!
Nate, there's heart involved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
not just speed.
They asked that, remember? Like, do you have a chip on your shoulder? That's basically heart. That's their heart question. That's their heart measurement. There's not
heart
there's
measurement. Do you have an angry heart? We like angry hearts.
What about you? Was there something that, stood out to you in the episode?
Oh, a couple of things. One of the things I really liked how Bean was the board whisperer. So he just the board speaks to him. Like he just knows. He's looking at the board and it says some things, and we don't know what it's going to say. It just speaks to him.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the funny little thing that they went through. And I'm just like, this is a little dramatic.
Were you now being objective? Were you just like, oh, this is kind of BS? Were you kind of like, yeah, I kind of believe that the board actually does speak to him a little bit?
No, I'm on board. Like, I'm a Bills fan. So, yeah, if he's the board whisperer, then by all means, let's continue this path. He seems to be thus far. I mean, there's not many things that he's gotten wrong, per se. Like, yeah. If you want to say, you know, fails, you know, busts versus successes. So it was just an interesting way that they blatantly put it.
Yeah.
Well, he's waiting for the board to speak to him. We should give him some space. Like, okay.
Brandon needs some time with the board alone. They need to.
We're going to light some candles.
He's got his shirt off. He's like, talk to me. Just let me know. What should I do? It's just like, we didn't see many shots of the draft room then. I would have liked to have seen a lot more of that the night of the actual draft. But
did you watch it?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched the first three rounds. I watched the first round, most of it, and then the second round, and then the third and fourth. So, like, that was kind of cool. But by the way, I didn't mention this, I think, in the podcast after the draft, but it goes without question that every time the Bills are up are on the board, or ready to pick, the pick is in, they go to a commercial without fail every single time. It's like, oh, the pick is in. All right, Toyota, what kind of new car are you trying to sell to us, you know?
That's because they know the Bills fans are going to generate some ad dollars.
Ooh, I never thought of it like that. That's true.
That's a compliment.
Okay.
And look at all of the primetime games this year.
That's why there's never a commercial for like Jaguars fans or like fan bases that just don't exist, you know?
I've never seen a Jaguar ad, have you?
No.
Did you mean, like, let's don't bother.
You didn't mean the car, right? Because I meant the fan base, the Jaguars, the fans.
Oh, I thought the car.
The car. Jeez. Wow.
Okay, never mind.
Woo! Thank God this is an off-season podcast. See, this is the only reason I have you on. I have you on when it doesn't matter. No offense. No offense.
I wish I could be offended.
I have you on before the season starts, week 17, when all the starters are rested, and then now, like after the draft and free agency and everything. So,
I'd be upset if you did bring me on when it mattered.
But I will say that one person just left us a review specifically mentioning you. So, I mean, that hopefully that person's listening. That one person is listening. That's all that matters. So, one of the things I liked about this this series was it's a small point, but AJ Epenesa made a point to say that he goes for the sack fumble as opposed to just the sack in his pass rush moves. Now, he talked about, which this leads into another story, he talked about that he realized how important it was when he watched Von Miller do that to the Carolina yes. Panthers in the Super Bowl.
I loved everything about that.
And obviously not realizing it at the moment, at that point in time.
It was delicious.
That Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean were a part of that losing Carolina Panthers Super Bowl team.
That's the most amazing interview flub to be like, oh yeah, I want to do that thing that totally screwed over your team. Like, we were coaches there. Oh,
yeah.
I still want to do that. No, that was fantastic.
I'm so glad they kept that in too, because the production team could have been like, well, it doesn't really look good on us. It's like, no, that's hilarious. Like, you have to.
That's perfect. One of the things I noticed in terms of their interviews I thought was really interesting is the level of detail that they were going through that film footage. Like, did you notice that they're talking about specific plays that they're playing? And he's like, oh, well, I landed my left foot just slightly this way, and so I knew I had to cross over. And you're just like, oh, my God, the detail of which they're asking these guys to talk about a very specific play in time that – like, how do you even remember that stuff? I mean, I never really played, so I guess I don't know if that's the case. If you remember each play like in slow motion, or if you're just that's how detailed each play is that you're supposed to put your foot a certain way. But I was really interested in that because it makes me wonder if you can tell, is this guy like a true like person that understands the sport, or is this just a dude who goes out and is athletic and can do it?
Is he a football player versus is he an athlete, right? Like that kind of goes out along with that theme, because yeah, I thought that was that's a really good point, because during the interview they're asking like these minute, like I mean how many rushes did, you know, Zach Moss have last season? I mean, he had over 1,000 yards, so you know, he had, you know, a few hundred rushes. So you're asking him to remember this one specific one, and why'd you do the way you did? Or, you know, it was a really cool idea. And I know all front offices do this to a point, but I think they're looking for things because you might have an athletic freak on your hands, but you might have to teach him the nuances of the game, right? So you need to know, okay, maybe I still like him. Maybe I still really like this guy, and he doesn't know any of the reason why he did what he did. He doesn't know why he ran that route. He doesn't know why he made that move. That's fine. But now I know I have to teach him. I have to teach him why he does. One of the things, I going back to the thing about AJ Epenesa and having the sack fumble I wanted to bring up real quick, is that I feel like that's been missing a lot from this Bills defensive line, is that they go for the sack all too often when really they just need to go for that ball. Like, not for nothing. Like, I mean, that's fine. Take down the quarterback. But, man, that ball is so much more important, even if you don't knock down the quarterback, man. It's just so much more important, and we've seen it happen in the past. Not as much recently, but, like, just remember, you know, it kind of reminded me of Super Bowl 25. Remember when Bruce Smith almost knocked the ball out of Hostetler's hand? I mean, he was actually going for the ball, I think, to a point, but, like, that ball turns into a touchdown. That game is different. It's so much more important. That's just my thought in general. I think the defensive line needs to work on that, but it's cool to see AJ Epenesa actually use that. And
well, I think it's part of that culture change in terms of how that goes. Because you've seen it a little bit, you know, last year. I mean, their defense was so stout that there was a lot of things you could see them going for. But whether you have that athleticism or the know-how to actually do it and execute it, I think that it's just a matter of that mindset. Should we going after the ball or just going for the sack? And I think that's a direction they're moving.
Yeah. I can tell by that answer you have a chip on your shoulder, by the way. I think we need to work that into the podcast more often. It was just, wow.
You know, Nate,
there's a chippy answer
during off season and not important games. So, you know, I'm here to prove something.
Oh, you got a chip on your shoulder. You want to be a regular on the podcast. Okay.
I'm here to show you.
I like it. You know what? Not going to lie. I kind of like that. I kind of like that in my podcast co-host. Got a chip on your shoulder.
Pit me against John and Mike.
But you get... yeah. Yeah. They won't listen to this one. So you win. You win. I'm just kidding. It'd be funny. I make you listen to this podcast right after and be like, what were you thinking when you said this thing right then? I mean, what did that mean? Like this analogy that you tried to do. I don't understand. Well, you know, I kind of was trying to make a point. Anyway, all right, so chip on the shoulder, we got it.
I do wonder why nobody has any freaking pictures on their walls. Did you notice that?
Yeah, good point. They're not pictures. There was some football paraphernalia.
Yeah, but there's no pictures on the walls. It's like, what, do you people not live here?
Well, in Sean McDermott's defense, it did look like it opened up to his whole basement, so he didn't get a good picture. Or you didn't get a good... Actually, I shouldn't say that. Sean McDermott was in a press conference after the draft, and there was a jersey that was on one of the walls on his left or right side, and I think it was John Warrow or Sal Miron, I can't remember. One of the media guys brought up, he's like, oh, is that a Sean McDermott jersey? And he's like, yeah, no, that's my jersey.
Which is fine. Which is good. Fun. You know, have a personality. It's okay.
But no pictures.
But it's like all these, like even if you look at the draftees, like you see these huge living rooms, they have all their family there. And why are there no pictures? Do you people not have anything? Like, what's going on?
I did not notice the no pictures in the draft rooms or in the draftees rooms. Wow.
I did. Because that's why you bring me here.
That's right. Well, thank you.
This is why you bring this off-season content.
All right. I'm going to note that down. Chip on his shoulder still points out the specific details.
John would never have noticed that there was no pictures.
Oh, John has no freaking clue half the time.
Shots fired.
He won't listen to it. We're all good. I didn't have anything else specific to the interviews that I wrote down here. Did you want to add anything that I missed besides the fact that there was no artwork or photos on the walls?
I thought it was interesting that kind of like Jake Fromm was an afterthought. Like there was interviews obviously with the first few guys, but then it's like the last few picks. I can't remember the kicker's name. I apologize.
Tyler Bass. Kick his ass, Seabass.
Like, kick his ass, Seabass. It was just like, oh yeah, we got these guys. Mm-hmm. We got these guys too. It's like you didn't record their interviews. Like, what's?
Well, it's very possible that they may not have, because they're only allowed to do so many interviews while they're at the combine. So they may not have actually interviewed them there.
Oh,
like it might have been over a Zoom meeting, which is very possible because they're allowed so many Zoom meetings. I forget how many, but they probably wouldn't have recorded every single one of them and then be like, oh, Pegula Sports and Entertainment is like, oh, can you send me that footage, Sean, about you interviewing, you know, Jake Fromm? Yeah, so it's just, I think they just do what they have, and it's just, they probably just didn't. I seriously doubt that they were interviewing, especially like kickers and quarterbacks at the combine, probably looking more at like positions of need as opposed to those.
That's where you just go, you know, he can kick it really far.
So interesting note. I did this this really cool thing with Trainwreck Sports and a couple of other companies, Code Sox and Gradwick Productions. And it was this last week where they basically simulate a Madden game, a Bills Madden game, like while we talk about what's going on. So it was kind of cool. We're talking about the game, but it kind of lends itself to other conversations about the Bills in general. And this was actually the 2021 season that we were watching. And so some of these players I'd never seen before, and like players that you wouldn't necessarily know took over. So like Tyler Bass was the kicker for the Bills in 2021. So Madden speculates that, you know, by that time, Tyler Bass would be the kicker. So it was just kind of interesting to see. There's a possibility. I'm not saying I'm going to leave this all to Madden. There's a possibility that Tyler Bass beats out Steven Hauschka for the starting role as the kicker, and Hauschka gets caught.
I agree. I mean, I don't think there's anything that, I mean, if he can do it, great. I love Hausch money, but you know, if we got to figure out something to say about Bass money,
dude, kick his ass, T Bass. Kick his ass. You've seen Dumb and Dumber, right?
It was right there. It was right there. So yeah, I mean, as soon as you can come up with a good slogan for him, yeah, he can replace Hausch money.
That's gonna become part of our Tee Public site. If he gets any good, it's just gonna be Kick His Ass Tee Bass. So nobody else that's listening, steal that, please. So if the Bills, what's interesting about, I always thought about that Tyler Bass draft pick was that the Bills literally just signed Steven Hauschka to a contract extension in the middle of the season last year, which they rarely do. They did that for Jerry Hughes, and they did that for Steven Hauschka. So you would think he would be part of their plans going forward, but it might have been just, it was just too good of a value to pass up. But if they cut him this year, the Bills only have a dead cap of $1.2 million. So
yeah, I think it's a low risk.
So I mean,
if you have a guy who can drill a field goal from 65 yards out, then okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, there's. Yeah, they could save some money if they end up cutting him this season, because he's got $6 million more on his contract between the next two seasons. So if they cut him this year, they only carry $1.25 million of that $6 million. $6.25 million. So anyway.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, We provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
It's pretty safe to say we're done with the episode.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Please.
Do you think that they're actually going to play this year? And if so, do you think it's like going to be one of those years that either is abbreviated or has an asterisk?
So one thing that I think is an asterisk. One thing I think that we mentioned that on a podcast, by the way, saying like if the Bills actually do win it this season, is there an asterisk for them winning the Super Bowl? And because I think that they will, but everyone's in the same boat. So there's no one that has an advantage over the Bills or has any less advantage than the Bills do. Just from a starting out standpoint, they're all going to start training camp at the same time. They're all going to have the same limitations, whenever that is.
No, they won't though. I mean, that's the thing. We have different states. We have different limitations. And that's the thing. There's different things all over the place. Plus, you know, the Patriots are going to like send COVID towels to the visitors team locker room.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez, I didn't even think about that. Glad you brought that up. But no, the NFL will make sure that each team, even if the state has different, because the NFL says you can't have, there's still I don't know if the marijuana policy is the same as it was, but even though some states were legal, some states you could smoke marijuana, those states still weren't allowed to, as far as the NFL is concerned. The NFL will make the competition completely equal across. When can you enter facilities? When can you do this? When can you do that? Like, that'll all be that part. Even though states may have restrictions more than others, that part will still be the same. So I'm not worried about that, an advantage by someone besides, you know, the COVID towels from the New England Patriots, which they will do. I think there'll be a season. I think there'll be a very abbreviated and almost, I still don't think there's going to be a lot of training camp. I know that we're on schedule for it to still start at the end of July.
Have you seen the videos of like Josh Allen throwing to all the receivers and things like that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So they're practicing.
They're practicing.
It's like, what are they doing? They're not wearing masks.
They were in Florida though. They were in Florida. You don't need to wear a mask in Florida.
Oh, I guess I forgot about that.
I mean, I see things on like their, you know, Josh Allen social media posting, and I'm like, I know you're living in California or wherever. I'm like, you guys are definitely not social distancing at all. Like, and I'm a little worried. I don't want to be that guy that's like, you know, you kind of shouldn't, you know, you should be wearing masks and stuff like that because nobody likes that guy, right? But at the same time, I'm kind of like, I don't want you to get sick, Josh. I don't want you to get sick.
I'm going to go with the thought that those guys bunked up 2 weeks ago. And so any of these things we're seeing is they've been together for like 2 weeks, quarantining together. So therefore, they're good.
They've been broing out for 2 weeks, so they're good. No COVID. Yeah. Okay.
All Madden, all the time. Now it's time to get out and throw some balls.
Yeah. Well, they might as well spend it all summer together then after that, right? Because they know that they can't affect each other.
Just think of the chemistry we're going to have, you know, once they come back. And they're going to be like, dude, you snore.
Yeah. I think we'll have a season. I think that even if there are issues and COVID comes back like stronger than ever, I think the beauty of the football season is it doesn't matter if it starts the first weekend of September. It doesn't matter if it starts in the middle of November. Like, nobody cares. Like, you could end the Super Bowl in May and nobody will give a crap. We'll still watch it.
What matters is how does it work with the teams? Like, yes, you have camera people, you have all these other people that need to go, even if you have no fans. But how do you do with the teams? Like, say Josh Allen gets corona.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not fair. Like, even if no one else on the other team or no one else on the team tests positive, he's got to sit out for 2 weeks, like as though he got four concussions.
Well, I hear they're trying to look at, you know, face masks with actual masks in it so they can't infect other people, at least on the field.
Yeah, let's restrict their breathing.
That's always good.
All athletes really find restricted breathing to be beneficial.
But they all have to wear it, right? I mean, you all got to wear it. You can't just have some people wear it, some people not.
That's fair, I suppose.
So we'll all have the same disadvantage of not being able to breathe while playing one of the most strenuous sports in existence. Yeah, that's a good point. Imagine, Like, I mean, the Jets lost Sam Darnold for like 4 or 6 weeks with mono last year. Imagine
that's the kissing disease. He shouldn't have been such a slut.
Imagine having, you know, losing Josh Allen to, yeah, to at least 2 weeks if you have symptoms. And then I think it's another, I don't know how many days after you're done with having, I mean, everything's up in the air right now as far as how long that you're able to.
Well, the
to
NBA
be
is talking about possibly letting them have more people. So rather than the you know, the stripped down roster, they can carry more people through the whole entire season. Because if you get a corona, you just send them out and you bring in some other guy. It could be something like that, but I don't know. It's just, maybe it's just so abstract right now because we're so early in the phases of everything.
It's so day by day, week by week, you know, it's just could change any moment. Like right now, even today, they said the NFL plans on having full stadiums, not stadiums.
Oh,
where
really?
Yeah, they said that today, and not even just with people being 6 feet apart, like, no, packed stadiums.
But COVID people. It's like, we want, get us some infected people, get them in there.
Get them in there. There is no way that they are going to have full stadiums in September for football
games.
There's no way. I could see an abbreviated where maybe they have 10,000 fans, but even so, it's like, how do you not walk past people to get to your seat? I mean, how do you not get
8 hours to just, you know, give them your ticket to get to your seat?
Exactly. And not tailgate. Like, you can't tailgate with your friends. But then that defeats purpose. But yeah,
we live in the unknown.
It is a very weird time, my friend. It's interesting. It's fun to speculate, but at the same time, I only think this is interesting because I don't have season tickets this year, so it's okay for whatever happens. I mean, I'll still be able to watch it, I think, on TV. It'll just be weird, the experience, and if it will affect as far as, you know, like home field advantage. Like, do you really get
a... Oh, it totally will. I mean, Bills Mafia is a huge advantage. I mean, think about the teams that are like, we don't want to play in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They're crazy. They're going to yell really loud.
We got the weather. We got the crowd. I mean, there's a lot of things, especially teams from the... We're playing the NFC West and the AFC West, too. So all those teams that are coming from the West Coast are coming to... So we have the advantage, the travel, and the crowd and everything like that. So there's... Yeah, it'll be interesting. So, I mean, you never told me what you thought. Do you think that it'll start on time? Do you think it'll...
I would be more comfortable giving you an answer in a month.
Oh, then why the hell did you ask me? Why did you ask me? You just asked me, and then you're like, I don't feel comfortable giving an answer. Well, then maybe you shouldn't ask that question. I felt like I was on the spot. I felt like I had to answer.
Well, I prefer you answer versus me answering it. That's why I asked you first.
I feel like you should put yourself out there, and then I'll just, you know, tuck my tail between my legs.
I beat you to the punch. No, I was going to answer it. You cut me off, though, because you don't respect my opinion enough to put it on during the regular season. But
I don't. I don't.
That's a Pringle. That's a Pringle on my shoulder. It's a chip. Yeah. It's a manufactured chip, but it's a chip.
I like that. Anyway, I like that. I'm writing down notes. I like that. Go ahead.
No, I think it's going to be a non-fan thing. So, teams and players and everything, but it's going to be like this weird silence as we watch it on TV. Like, as it's going to have huge TV ratings too. Like, the TV ratings are going to be freaking amazing. Dude, I always did watch it, but I still watch Top Chef now. Is like, that's my sports. I think I enjoy Top Chef, don't get me wrong. I was going to watch it anyway. But now it's like, I'm feeling competitive about it. It's like, fuck yeah, use the garlic. Oh, I'm sorry, I said fuck.
Oh, I don't care. It's the off season.
That garlic is going to take that dish up to the next level. You know, it's kind of a weird feeling. Did you watch the golf tournament?
No, I was only watching it on Twitter. I wasn't actually watching it by the TV, but I heard it was great. It's not watching. I watched none of it. I just read about it.
And really nice golf carts.
How was it? It was really nice. Did you enjoy it?
It was interesting. It was just funny because we're so starved for like any sort of competition. I think at one point Russell Wilson comes on as one of the people that they're talking to, and he goes, "Yeah, you know, if they knock it within 12 feet of the pin, I'll donate 100,000 meals." And 3 out of 4 of them get so close to the pin that he ends up donating 300,000 meals to the charity that they were working for. And I was like, wow.
That's cool.
These guys are a lot better at golf than you would expect.
Yeah, no kidding.
Tiger was the one who didn't get it close.
Oh, no kidding.
The other guys.
Yeah, Peyton, Tom Brady, and Mickelson all got the close one. I could be wrong, but I think that's how that went.
And Peyton and Tiger won, right?
Oh, I don't know who won.
Okay. You said you watched the thing. You
didn't even... I didn't watch all of it.
Okay. You were so starved, you didn't want to see what how the ending went. You're so starved for sports. All right, noting that. That doesn't bode well for you. Cool. Well, this was fun to talk about. I mean, you know, I'd recommend. So you would recommend Embedded to any Bills fan, I'm guessing, based on this,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, it's fun. I mean, I think it's kind of similar to one of the episodes last season where they did the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this year's draft, which is cool. So I would recommend it. I would recommend it to the folks on the Ringer podcast network, because on Bill Simmons' podcast they were talking about how they'd like to see a Hard Knocks style show on the draft. Well, there it is. The yeah. Bills did it. You're mm-hmm. welcome.
I would absolutely recommend it to anyone that, I mean, we're so starved for anything sports related, like you said, Nick. So I would recommend it in general, but for that reason. But yeah, in general, I mean, they could show, it was similar to last year. They could show though the draft, the guys being drafted every single year if they wanted to, because it's just compelling TV. That's why people love the draft in general. It's because you're not only seeing like potentially the future stars for your team, but you're hearing about their backstories. You're hearing about the kind of person they are. I mean, ESPN kind of went overboard with it this year with like, you know, the terrible things that happened to these kids. But, you know, it's just really, I enjoy seeing people be happy and that sort of them achieving their goals. It's just something about it. And obviously it affects you and your team. And that's exciting. You know, what could the future bring? It's almost like it's like the adult version, honestly, of Christmas. Because let's be honest, like, you know, when you're in your, you know, 30s, like Christmas ain't the same. Like, it's just how it is. But opening a gift when you were a kid was the most amazing thing on earth. Well, like the closest thing I found to it is like the draft, like seeing which player you're going to get. And you're like, oh, this guy could be so good.
I thought you were going to say gambling. I mean, I know you've had that problem. But...
We weren't supposed to talk about that, so that's a check.
I'm sorry. And
that we were
too far.
I thought I said not to say that.
No, but I agree.
Not to bring up my gambling problems. Yep.
Historically speaking, as I pour another drink, I could stop any time.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you got a chip on your shoulder.
I just don't want to, Nate.
You don't know me.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm at home. I'm not hurting anybody. Anyway, I think they could do it every year, because the draft is one of those things that, although there's a ton of attention to it, where you talk about the guys coming in, you talk about all these different things, you really don't see that behind the curtain aspect that we're getting from the Embedded stuff, which is super intriguing. Mm-hmm. I really like hearing their conversations and where they're going with these guys and what they're asking them and how the interactions play out. Like, yeah, he might have said the right thing, that he's got a chip on his shoulder, but he's still kind of a douchebag. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you can kind of feel like they didn't go into other guys other than the guys that they drafted, which I think is fine. Mm-hmm. It would be cool to see some of the not great stuff that you get from some of the other guys, but I understand why you wouldn't do that from a PR perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing the guys that hopefully will be within the Bills pantheon for years to come and be the next Bruce Smith and, you know, be the next guys that are taking over, I think is really interesting to see who they were as a younger person and coming into the world going, yeah, this is what I've been working for.
Yeah. You know, you brought up a good point as far as the emotion from the players getting drafted. There was a little bit on Twitter about Zach Moss being drafted, the running back, and that he didn't look super happy when he was drafted by the Bills. And then you kind of heard the audio from the phone conversation with him and Brandon, and he did sound kind of excited. I think he's just not a very over-emotional person, and there's a lot of guys that are like that out there, you know, you being one of them. So it's like, you know, it's kind of cool to see other – wait – too far. No, it was just
it's that chip weighing down my emotions. So I'm coming at you with with steel gaze.
it was some people just aren't like, oh my god, this is like Gabriel Davis. He cried when he got that phone call.
And which makes me wonder, is he going to be a good football player?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's
there's
like
no crying in football.
There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Would you prefer
baseball?
With a
I'm mixing my Tom Hanks.
So people were a little bit worried about that, and obviously you could tell that he showed emotion. He was really happy when he was drafted by the Bills, and then you had Gabriel Davis, and he like almost broke down and cried. It was a cool moment. Like I kind of feel for that. I love that kind of stuff. And then
I think that's, you know, as a person who doesn't emote, as you've said, like I am the person going, I really hope I like this thing in my Christmas package, because I'm going to have to fake it either way to be like, oh, great. Like whether I liked it or not, it's still like, if I liked it, I'm like, oh, that's great. I don't have that. I don't have the muscles in the face that make it do stuff. Whereas you have to try to like over exaggerate sometimes because you realize, oh, other people have feelings. So I can see that from that perspective, and I totally understand it. And, you know, I think it'll come out to what does he look like on the field? What does he look like in training?
Yeah.
You know, where do things go from there? Because we know, I mean, within the first year or two, you can tell the guys that are just like on board. Mm-hmm. And whether he's on board immediately and goes, ah, the Bills, I don't care. It's when you get here and you realize what it is that we're doing, then you're not on board. That's when we're going to have issues. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's like we're overanalyzing this because we can, and I don't think you necessarily need to.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned like Jake Fromm, them not showing a lot of Jake Fromm's interview, Tyler Bass's, like those late round guys, and I was just thinking when you were mentioning it that one of the reasons why they probably didn't discuss it is they spent a lot of time last season on the embedded series on their undrafted guys. Remember David Sills? And he never panned out at all. Like we were expecting, because the Bills didn't draft a wide receiver last season. We're like, okay, well, they went hard after this guy. And the guy didn't make it through training camp. And I don't think he made it on the practice squad. So, you know, maybe the production group was kind of like, do we want to spend time on the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounders? Or should we just spend time on the guys that we know will most likely make the roster?
Like that makes sense. I mean, it 100% makes sense. It's just the difference between, are we going to do a Hard Knocks? Do we do 8 episodes that are a deep dive? Or are we going to just do 1 episode on the draft? Mm-hmm. And they did 12 minutes. So, and it wasn't all on the draft.
Yeah. We've spent literally more time talking about that episode than that episode actually took to air. Like it was, we spent more time talking about it.
I think they should swap that video out with our podcast.
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, I was going to say, you know what? That's a good, I'm going to mark that one. That's good. You're climbing. Your chip has gotten bigger since this episode has started. I feel like you're really taking through this. So I have nothing more to add, man. It was fun to talk about this. It's always fun to talk Bills in general, especially when it's specifically about when it's the only thing that's going on really for the Bills, anything positive, at least. You know, it doesn't have to do with, you know, a DWI or anything like that. So this was fun to talk to. Is there anything else that you want?
Why do they always have to buy guns? Why are they always armed,
Nick,
when they get pulled over?
Everyone in Texas has a gun. I don't know if you didn't know that by now.
You know, that's I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm wrong there.
It's actually illegal if you don't have a gun in Texas. Did you know that?
You know, you're right.
Yes.
I'm sorry. That was my poor research. It is.
Well, I'm telling you right now, it's not your research. I'm just letting you know. This is part of the podcast. We all learn from each other.
Is it official? He's missing 2 games.
Oh, so nothing's official yet. But you know, in talking with some people that are much bigger experts than me over the issue, is that apparently it takes a lot longer for a DWI case to get through than other cases do. So couple that with the fact that, you know, court cases in general are being pushed back because of COVID. You know, couple that with the fact that, you know, the NFL
allegedly is what we're talking about right now.
I think, yeah, exactly. It's nothing happens until the court rules on it, and the NFL won't do anything until the court decides what to do with it. So you're looking at probably 2 to 3 games, but it could be 2021. So you never know. But I guess my point is, we could talk about that for a second, but no, let's not talk about it. I talked about that in another thing. I think I'm going to release the discussion with the Trainwreck guys and the Code Sock guys about the DWI and everything like that, and my thoughts on it. So, but I will say over Twitter, you cannot criticize a Bills member that a lot of people like because they're not fans of when you do that. Even though when they do things that they're completely in the wrong for, just the idea that they might not be, that this is anything but a dust stop is just like, oh, like.
So here's my stance.
Okay, let's hear it.
I understand we have, like, when we talk about pot and we talk about different things like that, there's different rules for different states. And not that I care one way, I really don't. I don't care one way or the other. But I think that, you know, one of the contracts that we have with these guys is we're going to pay you millions of dollars. So we expect you to adhere to certain levels of how you act. And if you don't, there's going to be consequences. So I'm okay with those consequences. Like, it sucks because it's kind of, you know, one of those things that happens. But at the same token, it's like, yeah, we're paying you millions of dollars. If that's what you, if you don't want the millions of dollars, great, go do whatever you want. But if you do want the millions of dollars and play football, then, you know, don't do the stupid stuff. In terms of this, I'm not trying to chastise him. I'm not trying to do anything like that. I'm just saying that I think there's a reasonableness to we're giving you millions of dollars. We expect you not to do certain things. And if you do those things, you're going to be punished. So if that's the case, then that's the case. I'm not going to get like too far bent out of shape. Like if they say, look, the punishment was whatever it is the court said, and, you know, stop it, and you can still play, great. If they suspend him for a game or two, okay, that's what it is. I'm not going to get too bent out of shape either way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, I guess my point is that there's a lot of other players in the league that aren't getting DWIs right now, and so it can be done. It can be done that these guys don't get it. You know, there's a lot of players in the league, and that's the only one we've heard of. So, just sucks. It sucks. I don't think it sucks.
I'm not going to say it doesn't suck. It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks when you lose one of your best players in the defensive line. It's never good. It doesn't help your team. So it just, you know, but like I said, you know, I'm not ununderstanding of the situation. I was going to say, I remember you and I went out one night. We were in Geneseo and we were drinking out one night, and I was the DD that night. We were out with a couple of friends, and I remember a cop following us throughout the area, throughout the town, and I'm like, oh, this guy's going to pull me over. So you know when you're about to get pulled over, like, you stop at every stop sign, you do everything you're supposed to do, turn signal way before you need to turn, and sure enough, I get pulled over, and I said, why am I getting pulled? Do you know why I pulled you over? I have no idea. He's like, because I did everything right. He's like, oh, because you didn't stop at that stop sign, which I'm like, this is total bullshit, because I absolutely did. I'm sober. I did have one beer that night. I will say I did have one beer in the span of that 5-hour night, but it was just, you know, I was bored. Being DD is boring. So anyway, so the guy pulled me over. He's like, did you have a drink tonight? And I said, yes, I had one beer. I'm the DD, but I did have one beer. He's like, step out of the car. So I did the sobriety test right out in the middle of the street, and the guy was like, fine, you know, you're not inebriated. So he believed me. But it's very, could have easily been me that night. You know, I guess my point is I'm not taking a moral high ground. Like, how could you do this, Ed? Like, I completely get why it could happen.
Oh, no, I'm not taking moral high ground either.
I know you're not. It just sucks. It sucks, though. You're conflicted because you can see why it happened. I have very responsible friends that have gotten DWIs, like very smart, intelligent, responsible friends. And it just, it happens. It's like, it's, you know, no one's perfect.
Yeah, no, don't have a gun.
Well, I hear that, like, anytime you have a gun during an incident, it's considered illegal. It's not considered. It doesn't mean that he has illegal ownership of a firearm. It just means that he had a gun during the incident. I mean,
he wasn't charged about it.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just one of those things.
Just a clickbait thing.
Yeah, it was. It was just a clickbait thing. It's like, oh, a weapon. Like, oh, geez, what is he, a criminal? Like, no. It's just he has a weapon, and if you get pulled over while you have one, even though it's legally registered, it still counts as, like, you know, they just put it on the police report.
The thing we released to the report.
It's just, yeah, yeah.
To make you sound really dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. They did say he had a beer between his legs, too, which is not ideal.
That's not ideal.
Just put it in the cup holder, right? I mean, geez. It's not. You should definitely not do that.
Hot take.
Nobody's listening by now anyway. So, cool. Well, it was good to talk to you. You know, again, you know, it was fun talking to Embedded. Man, I hope they release more. Hope
be hey, more. When the season gets canceled, maybe I can come back again.
You will only come back if the season gets canceled. That's the only reason I can say. If every member on the team gets sick. No, appreciate you having, it's always good to talk to you in general, Nick. You're fun to talk to, and it's good to get your insight on some of this stuff and some things that I missed. So, believe it or not.
I do have a little bit of a shout-out. Well, maybe it's not a shout-out. I could have used that wrong. Do you know the comedian Bert Kreischer?
Oh, of course. I love Bert Kreischer.
The Machine?
The Machine.
I'm the Machine!
I love Bert Kreischer.
So I've been known to listen to some of his podcasts here and there, and they throw them up on YouTube where they have the actual video. And I wrote it down, but I didn't write down who he was doing it with. But he was doing a podcast with a nice Bills cap on.
Was he?
Yeah.
No kidding. What do you know? So, okay, all right. So it was a recent one?
Within the last, I mean, Embedded came out, what, Friday?
Yeah, I believe so.
So I watched either on Saturday or Sunday. And so that note would have been within the last few days.
Oh, cool. Cool. Very nice. Very nice. Bert's
the Machine, a guy who likes to drink a lot.
Do you know he has a podcast with Bill Burr now called Bill and Bert?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Jeez. Well, you were the one
Don't talk to me about podcasts.
Okay, that's why I have you on. Okay, that's a good. That's in the good column for you. You know more about podcasts than I do. Sweet. All right, buddy. Well, thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
It's always good to talk to you. And until next time, and for Nick,
my chip gets ever bigger, but go Bills.
And for me, Nate, go Bills. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod @gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.